In early 1781, Brigadier General Daniel Morgan's Continental Army Corps had defeated a British wing at the Battle of Cowpens in South Carolina, capturing hundreds of prisoners. It was now marching north. A British army under Lieutenant General Lord Charles Cornwallis was racing to trap Morgan against this river. The Americans had camped at Salisbury and then moved out to try to cross the trading ford ahead of Cornwallis's arrival. This was part of the campaign later named the Race to the Dan. The prior autumn, Continental Commander Major General Nathaniel Greene had ordered General Edward Stevens of the Virginia Militia to explore carefully the Yadkin River, the depth of the water, the current, and the rocks, and every other obstruction that will impede the business of transportation. That foresight paid off this night, Saturday, February 3. The river was high and the current strong after days of rain that plagued both armies, but the Patriots were ready. From here you might have caught glimpses of small boats crossing back and forth across the river by the far end of the island, rowboats, flat-bottomed bateaux, even canoes. It's unclear where these boats came from. Morgan's commander, Greene, had discussed the possibility of carrying some on wagons. Some sources believe Morgan had done that, and that Greene arranged for others to be gathered while still in his main army camp in South Carolina days before. If so, he helped himself personally, because Greene was here that night. The corps of around 800 part-time soldiers called militia and regular Continental troops, plus the prisoners, were hurrying in fear of the British cavalry. It took hours, but they succeeded, and the boats were tied up on the left side of the river. The Americans camped on the heights above. The British had tried but failed to cut off Morgan at the crossroads that now is Mooresville and then chased him through Salisbury. By dark, they arrived roughly 4 miles east of Salisbury and 15 miles from the ford, the best over the Yadkin in this region. Cornwallis sent a portion forward to try to catch the Continentals while the rest of his army set up camp. Among the distant trees on the right side of the river, perhaps a half mile past modern I-85, a large number of civilian refugees failed to make it. Around midnight, Brigadier General Charles O'Hara's redcoats arrived to find 100 Virginia militiamen and 50 cavalry apparently guarding refugee wagons stuck in river mud. Instead, it was an ambush. Greene's medical chief, Dr. William Reed, wrote that after crossing and visiting the camp, he came back to the riverbank. It's unclear how soon afterward he wrote up these events, so believe quotations with caution. Some officers were there watching the approach of the British, column after column, as the light faded. Morgan approached and said, "I have laid an ambuscade of 120 Virginia men for the British. We hope to do them some harm." According to Patriot Militia Colonel Joseph Graham, "The militia were drawn up near a half mile from the ford, where a branch crosses which was covered with small timber and bushes, and there was an old field along the road in their front. The American position was low among the branch, under shade of the timber. That of the advancing foe was open and on higher ground, and between them and the sky was quite visible." With the British within 60 steps, the Patriots opened fire, which the British returned. As the firing broke out, Reed quotes Morgan to say, "There my rifles. There the British pistol. Dogs added to the noise." Graham says the redcoats formed a line and extended to the right until they began to turn back the militia on the end of the American line. After firing two or three rounds, the militia easily retreated into the night toward another ford. Looking across the river near this end of the island, however, Reed saw a gunshot and the dark shape of a man falling off a horse. Graham continues, "They passed down the river 2 miles and crossed over, abandoning the baggage and other wagons which could not be gotten over to the enemy after taking out the horses. The British went on to the trading ford, but found the water was too deep to ford and still rising, and that General Morgan, encamped on the other side, had with him all the boats and canoes. The British captured the wagons, adding to the refugees' misery. The redcoats lost 10 to 12 killed or wounded, but none were captured. Two of the militia were killed, an unknown number wounded, and 10 captured." The next morning, Reed, Morgan, and the officers were back at the riverbank trying to see what happened. Some of the Virginians, wet and fatigued, appeared on their side of the river walking in your direction from beyond the island. Reed told them what he saw. A young soldier stepped forward to say he fired the shot. "I was pursued by a dragoon while running across that field. He overtook me, and I wheeled about and shot him. I think he fell. At the moment, he gave my rifle a heavy cut," which he showed to Reed. Two men volunteered to check on the British. They rode their horses down the sharp bank on the left and across the near end of the island to the right side. On returning, they said they saw the redcoats burying the dead in large pits. The rest of the British army arrived, now totaling 2,000 men, but Cornwallis realized he had been foiled not only by the Continentals, but by nature. The floodwaters made the ford completely impassable. Please scroll down to Greene Ignores Cannon Fire, use its driving and walking instructions, and then click its audio clip.